Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globetrotting program, alhamdulillah. And when I say Sunday morning, I'm talking to you, because I'm in Sunday afternoon at the moment. We are in a village, in a deep village in Vietnam, alhamdulillah. Some 500-600 kilometers away from the cities, from the city of Saigon, or better known now as Ho Chi Minh City. We are some 500-600 kilometers, and it's a village. As I'm sitting now, let me tell you where I'm sitting. I'm sitting on a balcony of a house of a student who studied in South Africa from Vietnam. I'm sitting on a balcony and I'm overlooking the rice paddies. But let me give you the flip side of it. I'm sitting here in heat of about 35 degrees Celsius. While talking to you, I'm just rolling with perspiration, because the aircon cannot work on a balcony, obviously. So I'm sitting with perspiration, alhamdulillah. And we're just looking and looking deep as far as we can see. Only rice paddies. Alhamdulillah. Allah has given rozi to people, and different types of rozi to different people around the world. You will get, for example, people having businesses. Then you'll find a certain nation. They have dukans. They have shops. You get Aprawara, they got all the shops. They've got only shops. Wherever you go, you'll find them around the world, they've got shops. And these people here, when you look at them, they've got rice paddies. That is their pride. In their yards, in front of their houses, and now that they're harvesting the rice, if only I can show you, they're harvesting their rice. They have all their rice, the rice, raw rice, laid out on the streets just to dry. Okay, that is just a setting. More than that, alhamdulillah, last week we spoke about Cambodia. We were live in Cambodia. And alhamdulillah, we had a lovely time in Cambodia. We had good people that we had associated with that gave us a lovely time. They gave us a time of our life. With the poverty that we had, that we saw in Cambodia, as I explained to you last week, the poverty that was there, the poverty that is there, they've given us, they've given us their hearts to take with us. And when we left, they cried to say, you know, it is a blessing. Allah has blessed them for us to be with them. What more appreciation can a person give with having nothing? They look around, they find whatever they can just to give us. Take a bottle of water or something and something, take with you. It's the thought. That's what we talk of. We're in the comfort of our homes. At the moment, what's our time there? Just past 9. You're sitting in the comfort of your home, enjoying your breakfast. Maybe Kala is making the breakfast in the kitchen and you're sitting in the bed and waiting for Kala to bring the breakfast to the bed. That is lekker life. That is good life. We don't have that here that we see. But the muhabbat that these people have, the unity that they have, the peace of mind that they have around the world. And we must make shukr to the Almighty Allah that we are currently so fortunate to associate with these people. I believe me. We are, how much more shukr can a human being make that when you go out of your cocoon? We've been in our cocoon for many, many years. Since I'm born, I saw the sun for many, many years. We haven't gone out of our cocoon to see how people live on the outside and to see how people make do on a daily basis. We are comfortable in what we do. And we bicker over small things. You make namaz like this with your toes facing that direction. You make namaz with four fingers in between. You stand like with 1 foot on the left and 1 foot on the right. What's all this? What's all this? Come out in the world and then we see what is life about. We go to all these masjids. We don't have that seven shield carpets. We don't have that seven shield carpets that we see in all the masjids in South Africa. That even the seven shield carpet that is there, the one part of the seven shield carpet has got a bit of a bump, we complain about it. The mutawalis have to sort it out. No, 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 no. Here, we make sijda on hard floors. We make sijda on tiles. Believe me when I tell you. That when we come, because we foreigners, we come here, they go to their houses and they bring musallas for us, those single musallas. They give us and say, right, you may sit down there. Because they know how spoiled we are. That is our lives. We must make shukr to Allah. We must really, really, really make shukr to Allah for what we have. But besides that, I hope South Africa is doing you fine. I hope the weather is well. I hope you're enjoying the weather in South Africa. We don't know what's the weather like in South Africa, but we are filling glasses with perspiration here. That's what I can say. But alhamdulillah, drink water, hydrate ourselves, and go on like that. And that's the way it is. Now, we've just come back. We've just finished up with Kurbani around the world, I would say. People went to different places in the world for Kurbani. Different issues, different experiences. Some do the Kurbani abroad, some don't do the Kurbani abroad, and they say they did the Kurbani abroad, things like that. Be that as it may, whatever wants to happen will happen. Allah knows best. Allah protect us all. Allah protect us and give the sincerity of Kurbani in our hearts. Give the sincerity of doing the amanat of somebody else. If you take that amanat on, put it into your heart and the people that are going abroad, and do it sincerely with your own hand. And that is what I've seen. I've joined the group here, alhamdulillah, this year. I've joined the group to come here to Vietnam to experience firsthand of what goes on. We hear a lot about this Kurbani not being done here, not done, transparency. The key word, transparency. In all groups, transparency. And I think in this trip alone, the word transparency, I must have heard it 63.2 million times. Transparency all the time. And believe me, that's what we'd like to see and what we'd like to hear. And alhamdulillah, it's just amazing that when people come from they leave the comforts of their homes. They leave what is at home. I desire most to be with my family on this auspicious day of Kurbani, where in our yards we slaughter the animals with our children. We have that fun. We call it the fun day. Our own fun day. We love to do that. Everybody would love to do that. But somebody has to do something somewhere for some people around the world because they've been chosen to do it. That's what I say. To go out is not just going out and doing Kurbani. You are chosen to do it by Allah. Chosen, some people get chosen and they experience, and whatever difficulty they go through, it comes from Allah. That's what we say. So alhamdulillah, on this particular trip, there's been a few brothers, new brothers that came for the, like I said, 62.5 million times transparency. They came to check the transparency out of this group that I'm joining, that I've joined now also. Which I also came to see what's the transparency like. But anyway, we came through here, and this brother that we're going to be talking to shortly from KZN, the comfort of his home, I believe, I don't know Durban very well, but he's from Westville, I believe. Comfort of his home, family, they do Kurbani in their own little compounds, wherever it is. Families get together, 50, 100 people, 200 people, it may be, whoever they are in the family. And he was explaining to us what the mahal, what an environment they have. And by having all that, they cut all that short. And he came here, Luko, alone. He came here, got into the fields, got in with the animals, and started doing the Kurbani that's supposed to be done. Now, it's not the Kurbani. In Vietnam, what is happening is, it's not a Kurbani that's deserving. It's reviving a sunnat which never took place here before. And that's what we look at. It's a sunnat which never was practiced for many, many years. And now it's been revived in the last 10, 12 years. And alhamdulillah, as we're going into the villages, moving today also, going into the villages, you see them still today, they are doing Kurbani. And we have Brother Ahmad Umar, who is sitting in front of me, just shaking his head with awe and shock, like I did. When I came the first day, second day, I was in shock and awe. And he's also in shock and awe at the moment, sitting in front of me. And he doesn't know, what do I do? Do I come back? Do I share my experiences with my family? Will they understand what I'm saying? If you're doing recordings, taking it back home, that feeling of what Kurbani is all about when you go out physically and do it yourself, and show it on the small little video clips, chalk and cheese. Believe me when I tell you, chalk and cheese. And Brother Ahmad Umar, I thank you very much for joining me on the Sunday morning. I know you are perspiring. I can see your perspiration. We are talking to the South African public. Alhamdulillah, we have many listeners out there. We've got people around the world. We've got people listening to us currently, as I know, from the UK. We have people from different parts of the world. We have lots of listeners who respond to us on WhatsApp from Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi. I get Mozambique. I got other Mozambique listeners also. And our SMS line, let me remind you, our SMS line is still working. 072, no, not SMS. Let me not say SMS. My WhatsApp line. 072 786 5520. 072-786-5520. That's our WhatsApp line. You can WhatsApp us if you have anything that you want to ask, anything that you would like to know. You want us to share some of your experiences, which we're probably not going to be talking of, or something we may miss. You're most welcome to WhatsApp us. 072-786-5520. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ahmed Umar. Did I get it right?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Muhammad Lambat, I can't. What an amazing introduction. What an amazing description of the place that we're in. As I look at you and you look at me, we have beads of sweat dripping down our faces. Dear listeners, it is extremely, extremely hot. But Alhamdulillah, there is no other place that I would be here on this Sunday. Yes, as Brother Lambat said, I could have been at home Sunday having breakfast with the family and kids. As much as I miss them, and Alhamdulillah, I make dua for my family also that have allowed me and afforded me the opportunity to come out on this, I would call it, great and epic journey.
Ameen, ameen, Alhamdulillah. And already I just got one SMS that came here, one WhatsApp that came here. My wife says, here's it. Yeah, it says, your wives really sacrificed for all going to do Qurbani out there. Okay, I can understand our wives are doing the sacrifice. We're doing a sacrifice, but I must, you know, credit has to be given to our wives. Okay, our wives, you are really sacrificing that you know, we are not with you. That is a message that came through. And I think that is a fact, Brother Ahmed Umar. You being here, you've come here with your friends together, sitting, doing what's to be done, and all the work that had to be done. I think that is a true sacrifice on your side, and your family not being with you during this time. This is, you know what, this is one great Qurbani, I would say.
You know, definitely, Muhammad, but also we've got to look at it as, you know, as we go on in life, you know, there are opportunities that present themselves to us. And I think those that grab them are the fortunate ones. We are very fortunate that Allah Ta'ala has given us opportunities to take to serve His deen. You know, there are chances we get in life that we need to grab and latch on to. And you know what, with that comes great sacrifice. I really, really miss Eid, you know, obviously with the family phone. I mean, you know, whenever I tell the guys, listen, we're going off to Qurbani. Alhamdulillah, this has been my second year. Being with the brothers from MBJ. I met a few new brothers on this trip and a few from the last trip, and what an amazing group of guys they are, all from Gauteng. So, you know, it's amazing. Joburg guys are amazing. A bit different from our KZN boys, so they're not all that bad once you get to know them.
Alhamdulillah, we got Brother Zakaria Pandar also who's sitting here in front of us. He's been really active in going to the farms, getting all the animals, and that is a true sacrifice of getting into the crowds, I would say. He's not from KZN, because the KZN brothers love doing those things. He's from Roshni, and he's also involved with all these things, Alhamdulillah. And, you know, it is just amazing that when you get to a place like this, when you come here, just looking at these people, looking at how their hospitality is with you, you wouldn't mind doing anything for them. Brother Zakaria, just one quick question. Coming all the way from Johannesburg, coming here, you've been coming many years. Your experience with these people currently?
Assalamu alaikum, listeners of Radio Islam. Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity to be doing this Qurbani for the people of South Africa. And definitely and truly, what a great experience. As Muhammad, Brother Muhammad was saying, Allah Ta'ala has chosen us to do this. And we try to our best of capability to do it and make sure the amanat of the people of South Africa and the Qurbanis are done in the way it's supposed to be done, that we go to look for the animals to be of certain age, the animals to be healthy. So to our best of our capability, we go around, try to do and give the person the amanat of the people of South Africa, try to buy the best animal and make sure the Qurbani is done in the way it's supposed to be done.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah for that, brother. The main thing here is, okay, it's the Qurbani that's been done. Done, sorted, Alhamdulillah. But the main thing is our experiences with these people, our experiences with the Vietnamese people as a whole. We have the two different nations in this world. We have the one nation which is called the Bani tribe, the Bani nation. These people, unfortunately, what happened was, their beliefs that the Kaaba had been destroyed over 700 years ago, their whole outlook had changed, because for them, what their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents taught them, it fell into generations and came forward up to date. And what happened is, although we ask, the first question is, we have technology, you have satellite TVs, you have YouTube, you have computers, can't they see the Kaaba is there? This year I got the answer, very simple. Yes, the Kaaba is there, it's been rebuilt recently, according to them, according to their belief. They believe that the Kaaba is a new modern Kaaba, is just rebuilt because it had to be there. And they still follow that belief of theirs. Now to work on those people, that makes a difference. Now alhamdulillah, where we sit today, not far from here, about 10 kilos, probably about 10 kilometers from here, there is a village where the Bani tribe, at least I think it was about 20 families, Brother Zakaria?
See, definitely about 20 families, Muhammad.
Oh, yeah, so it's about 20 families yesterday took shahadat. Now, we don't know who Allah does. 100% Allah does. The mere fact that we come out here, come with sweets, come with gifts, come with a way of life, and show these people what way of life, what Islamic way of life is. Allah change hearts. Allah puts it into their hearts. And Allah makes the difference. Allah chooses that these people must take the shahadat. And that is what we look at, alhamdulillah. That is what we look at, that, you know, it's simple and it's easy for us to say, ah, can't they just look on the internet and can't they just do what's to be done and you know, follow Islam like, if they are Muslim, follow Islam accordingly. No, Rewaj, we as the Indian community, we've come with that many years ago. Our grandparents, great grandparents, came with Rewaj, came with certain things that we still kept till today. In our weddings, for example, you'll find many things happening. And those things are what our parents, grandparents, and their parents did. And we find that we should continue with it. It's not Islamic. That's what we see here. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. So we cannot say, why them? Can't they think? Can't we think? If we say, can't they think? Can't they become proper Muslims? Can't we think and say, don't do that in weddings? Likewise, that's the way it is. So, Brother Umar, your experiences with some of the people that we encountered, that we came together with, the humility of these people, just share some of your experiences with us.
You know, Brother Mo, before I go on to that, I just want to reiterate the point that you made. This Qurbani is not like any other Qurbani, and Allah Pak grant the people that are doing the Qurbani in all over the world barakah in what they're doing and sincerity. But the need of the time in this place is of a greater magnitude. It's a need of reviving the Sunnah. So yes, we come to do Qurbani, but it is, I would say, two and threefold in terms of getting the people back on the Sunnah and also getting them aligned, as you said, you know, back onto the mainstream Islam. These people are amazing people. I mean, we've visited people together who have absolutely nothing in their homes. But as soon as you go there, you become their guest. They want to offer you tea, offer you meals. They have no food, bare essentials, but yet when you walk in, the home is yours. I mean, a typical example is Brother Rafiq, who has given us his house. When we walk into the house, that house, we become the owners and they become the guests. I mean, amazing, amazing hospitality. The amount of shukr and sabr that these people make. For me personally, this alhamdulillah has been my second trip here. Great lessons we learn on every trip, especially on this trip. A simple thing like the rice paddies, where the various brothers from Joburg, as we were driving through. I mean, again, it's priceless the experience you get on a trip like this. Allah Ta'ala shows you different things. We went on motorbikes through the different gams, through the different terrains. And I must say, I take my hat off to the Joburg boys. It's no easy feat. Yes, it's well and good to say, listen, the boys are going to Vietnam, good trip, Cambodia. It's all well and good. But trust me when I tell you, it's a long, long journey. I was just telling my roommate, who's my neighbor as well, Farid, that we like gypsies. We haven't had a chance to take out our clothing from our bags because we're literally hopping and jumping, living on maybe 3 or 4 hours of sleep. Coming back to the scenery and the picturesque place that we visit, and again, we take ibrat and lesson from this, like the rice fields and the rice paddies, the Joburg brothers, we went through the process of how the rice has been cultivated and the process of the people harvesting it, laying it on the floor every day, turning it over, back-breaking work so people eat rice. The lesson we learned is that the simplicity of life and also hard-working people, and we have so much to make shukr for in our country with all the privileges that we have. Simple things like when we go to the different villages and the gams, so to speak, the ablution facilities, and that it really humbles you. And this, and Brother Muhammad, I would like to paint a picture of how the process is of cultivating rice, and put that into perspective of Deen and us working here in the in Vietnam. It's a slow process. It's a very slow process. A lot of hikmat has to be used, and it's something where we have to adopt a very calm approach, and it will take time. But inshallah, one day they will definitely be back on mainstream Islam.
Inshallah, that is the desire, that these people must change. It's not we that will bring the change along. I give you an example. This morning we were talking to one of the hakims. Now the hakim is the leader of the village. We were talking to the hakim, and he was telling us in the 50s, 1950s, there was an Indian gentleman, or Indian Maulana we call him. He was a Maulana, Indian Maulana from South India. He came to this particular village that where we are based at the moment, and he came to the village at that time where there were no Muslims. There were only Bani people. No Muslims. So you can imagine a Maulana from the mainstream Islam coming to a village where there's no mainstream Islam. There's this Bani tribe. So now you coming as one person to them, you're coming with an innovation. According to them, it's bid'ah. It's an innovation for them. Because you're coming and you're introducing your Islam to them. And they thought, now what? Who's this guy that's come here now? And because he speaks Arabic, they say, according to them, he's not Muslim. Because he speaks Arabic, he's got to speak charm, their language, to be a Muslim. Now that is their mindset. That is the way they do things. Now unfortunately, that is their way of life. You cannot change. But Allah made it such. This Hakim of the village which we were talking to this morning, who is 86 years of age, he looked at this Maulana that came and really took interest in what he had to offer. And he then said, okay, I think you are right, and he took the Shahadat. One man. Obviously, he was now the black sheep in the community. But from there, another person, he introduced one of his friends and said, you know what, this is, I think, what Islam is all about. And that's how it went on. And in doing so, a few people joined mainstream. And that's where things started changing, alhamdulillah. And that's what we'd love to see. And that is, it all comes from Allah. And he tried his utmost best. While he was living here, there were a handful of Muslims. Over time, there had been changes in different villages. And because of his initial sacrifice, there were hundreds of them that took to mainstream Islam. And they became better Muslims, alhamdulillah. That is not the doing of me, you, or Maulana Ismail. That is the doing of Allah. There's the one kissa that I always, it comes to mind. There was one sheikh who came to a village, a remote village in India, and he gave a bayan in the masjid. There was nobody there. It goes something to this effect, that he put a whole lot of hats in the masjid, and he was giving the bayan to the hats, symbolizing that these are people that are listening. And he just kept on giving bayan. People thought he was nuts, he was crazy. Allah made it such that in that village, there was such a turnaround that deen started spreading from that village. Now Allah does. Likewise, we're not here to change people's lives. We're not here. We can't say, you know what, these people are, what type of Muslims are they? You know, what are you working there? And, you know, we can't do that. We cannot do that. That is in the hands of the Almighty Allah. You know, so much so that when you come here, I think, when you look at these things in life, we talk on this globe-trotting program. If you listen to us every Sunday, you would hear. We talk of different destinations of the world. We talk of different countries of where to go. The first thing people ask us is, what about halal, haram? What about the hotels? What about this? What about... There's so many things that people ask us about. But when you come to a place like this, you forget of everything else and say, Ya Allah, is this how people live? And yet, they maintain their deen. They maintain their Islam. And that's what we want, with humility. You'll find them in the villages. They've got kurtas they walk with. They've got imamas. They walk, they become like that. How beautiful is that? But more than that, we are going to talk about the country itself, the country towns, all those things. We're going to talk about that, but we'll do that right after the break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting program on your Sunday morning and my Sunday afternoon from Vietnam. We're doing a live broadcast from Vietnam, deep in the remote villages of Vietnam. What a beautiful setting. Although it is very hot, I haven't drank so much of those bottled iced tea as much as I've drank here. It's like every 20 minutes we take in one bottle because it is so hot. But alhamdulillah, it is just so great. Kurbani has finished, the work has been done. Alhamdulillah, now it's on our way back again. So we'll go out this afternoon, we're leaving from here. We're going to a coastal town, which I mentioned several times. The coastal town that we are going to is a town which is not far from where we are. The village that we're operating is not very far from here. This town is a town called Nha Trang. It's a coastal town. What a beautiful city. What a beautiful town. White, no, it's not pure white beaches, but turquoise waters. 100% turquoise waters. In fact, I did a scuba dive in their waters. Beautiful. I enjoyed it. I really, really had a great time. Lovely warm waters. The town itself, from north to south, is on the beachfront. We have Brother Farhad Kotwal who's joined us from Farinakhan, and alhamdulillah, I think he loves Nha Trang, I believe. Brother Farhad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Brother Muhammad?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for joining us on this Sunday morning. You just came into our so-called makeshift studio on a balcony here. You barged in, but you barged in at the right time because you always spoke of Nha Trang. You love Nha Trang. Tell me a little more about the city of Nha Trang and why you think our listeners should come to Vietnam to go to probably visit Nha Trang.
Alhamdulillah, this is my second trip to Vietnam with the MBJ group. And Nha Trang is a coastal village, like Muhammad said, a coastal city actually, and it's a holiday destination. And I think all the brothers, after their Kurbani, they sacrifice all, they basically come in and doing this hard work, they need a little bit of time out just to relax. And what better place to go to than Nha Trang? Beautiful, alhamdulillah. Besides the hotels, which are all on the beachfront, which are 5-star, alhamdulillah, but very, very reasonable prices. But coming back to what Muhammad said about, there's a little island from the main
city of
Nha Trang,
yeah,
which is called Van Pearl. Beautiful, alhamdulillah. And on this Van Pearl, you can cross over by cable car or by boat.
It's known as, I think that is the world's longest cable car?
Something to that effect.
Yes.
Not really sure, but what a beautiful sight, alhamdulillah. And then you realize that the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You take in all these, the corals of Nha Trang. There's so much to do. You can go scuba diving, you can go coraling, you can go golfing. Those golf enthusiasts, I know I've got quite a few friends from Roshni that love to play golf. There's such beautiful courses on the island of Van Pearl. There's two courses on the island of Van Pearl. And it's got a lot to offer, alhamdulillah.
You were telling me something about where everybody should do the mud bath. It's good for the skin or something. Tell me more about that.
Alhamdulillah, my friend Zakaria Pandor from our hometown of Roshni introduced me to the mud bath. Something that I wasn't really sure what I'm getting myself into. But really, I can't tell you. It's something, it's an exfoliating bath, basically. But something that every person should try. It's actually like a resort where you have these hot water pools, you have mud bath pools where you just relax and take, you know, de-stress yourself and you all that stress that you had of the Kurbani and the tiredness just comes out, alhamdulillah.
So according to all the pictures that I've seen also, you sit in a big bathtub with mud in there, but like liquid mud.
Yeah, the bath gets filled automatically. Why does, you know, every person that goes is very hygienically, very clean. So, and each one has his individual bath. like a group of friends can. They have hearts of different sizes. If you are a group of maybe three or four, there's a bata for you guys. And it's also for those people that want to come with their wives. They have private bathtubs where you can be with your wife in seclusion.
Alhamdulillah. So that is something very nice to do also. And then what about the shopping part of that in that area?
Very, very. Something different. I've never took the heat to see something like what they call bamboo clothing.
Yes.
And bamboo, they make bamboo clothing out of bamboo fiber, which is something that you have to, very cool, very perspiration absorbent, something that every person should have in his
shop. So that seems like very unique, because the thing is, thinking of, if you say bamboo clothing, one would think, how would somebody look in a bamboo dress or something? But it's designed like that, it's made like that, and we know you get those palm trees and you get trees like that which brings coolness. You know, when you sit under the shade, it's extremely cool. So it must be cool in the dress also then?
No, definitely it is. And one thing, Netrang is a holiday destination for the local people as well as abroad. You'll find that there's a lot of people from Russia.
Yes,
that come to Nha Trang. A lot of people from the Eastern European countries.
Yes,
and as well as the English and Europe as well.
So that's a pure tourist destination, yes. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, definitely.
The way you said this place for us, Alhamdulillah, I think our listeners are going to come straight here for Nha Trang, but the first thing they're going to go for is the mud bath. Alhamdulillah, that was lovely. That's a lovely description of the city of Nha Trang. Alhamdulillah, beautiful. And then you have Ho Chi Minh City, you have lots of other places. Then you go up north, you have Hanoi, you have Da Nang, you have all those places. So when you're coming in, when you're coming from South Africa, you can either visit the south or the north, or you can do the south and the north. And if you're going up north, you have Hanoi, you have Da Nang, you have Hoi An, you have Halong Bay. Halong Bay being one of the seven wonders of the world. And that is such a beautiful setting also. And then you have Saigon City, which is Ho Chi Minh City. That is another holiday on its own. So you find that there's so much to do. People ask me, you go to Vietnam, is 5 days enough? I think 5 days is not enough. Five days is like doing window shopping in Vietnam. That's what I would say. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot if you're doing south, if you're doing north. There's so much more to do, Brother Farad. Is that so?
100%. And one thing I want the listeners to take to heed is the fact that Vietnam is a place that is not very expensive. It's not only for the rich, it's for everybody. Value for money, like you can't believe. Really, like you can't believe. I think for one rand, it's equal to 1,700 dong. And that takes you a long, long, long way.
Now, talking of the hotel which you were just discussing with me earlier on, you're going now to Nha Trang. There is a hotel you're going to stay in there. I believe it's one of the Novotel group, which is a 5-star plus hotel. And that you're looking at about $70-$75.
Yes, yes, that's true. Any hotel of this caliber, anywhere else in the world, you will pay nothing under 100, 150 to US dollars. And here you get it at half the price.
Alhamdulillah. So that is just a touch of some of the places here. Now, Brother Umar Farad, sorry, not Brother Umar, you call you Umar all the time, but Brother Farad, not even Ahmad, man. There's just Farad and Ahmad and Zakaria, you know, just everybody here. Okay, anyway, Brother Ahmad, you know, you've been very touched. You've come here. For you, I think you're not even looking at everything else. You're just looking at these people, and you were shedding tears. In the past also, you're shedding tears. Why is that so?
You know, Brother Farad, I mean, then I just said that I don't blame you with all the heat and that our brains are a bit fried, but nevertheless, Brother Kotwal made a good assessment of Nha Trang. You know, this place is really amazing, you know, it's beautiful. You know, you see the beauty of the place and the beauty of the people. This place has touched my heart, and you know, it's left a mark in me. This, as I mentioned earlier, is my second trip coming here. Obviously, the first made an impact on me. And I feel that it's not only my responsibility, but the responsibility of all the listeners to make a trip here. Yes, to come and see the halat of the people. And yes, also come and visit the place. It's a beautiful, amazing place. But as I always say, you know what, try and do good, be good, and travel the world. You travel the world, you can see the different aspects of life. You learn to make sabr, shukr, for how our situation is. I mean, you know, we all think in South Africa things are not rosy, and trust me, when you travel the world, we are living like kings in South Africa. We have an amazing place.
What Zuma's in Shidwam also?
Yes, yes, with our man Zuma. With all of that, we still have a beautiful country, but Vietnam, the Vietnamese people are amazing. I mean, you know, yesterday as I was going through the motorbike, I mean, I told Alpak, I'm so much a sugar that I'm sitting on a bike, I get to see parts of Vietnam that a tourist wouldn't see. You know, as you're going through the different gullies and the wind is hitting your face, truly, truly amazing experience. It should be on everybody's bucket list, but at the same time, you know, on that bucket list, we should make dua for the people here. As much as we want to come and visit the place and experience the place, come with your families, we should also make dua for the hidayah of the people, inshallah. So, that's my little...
Alhamdulillah. You know, it's just, this place is so touching. There's just no words, as I said in the beginning, to explain how touching this place is. It's just unique and it's out of this world. That's all we can say. You know, it's the way the people are, the way the people interact with you, be it Muslim, non-Muslim, taxi driver, bus driver, be it the guy that's digging in the trenches on the side of the road, putting Neotel cables, and be it the guy sitting in the office. I think they all got the same akhlaq in them. That the mere fact that you just walk in as a foreigner, they don't know how to say hello, they don't have a clue of how to spell the word English in their life. But when you walk in there with action and with signs, sign language, you ask them for direction, they'll get out of that aircon office of theirs, and they will direct you to where you want to go. If you write down a certain name of a place that you want to go to, they will get out of their office and they will point it out. If they can help you, they will take you there also.
You know, something comes to mind when you mention that. The day when we came from Cambodia with the long bus ride, as we got off the station, it started to pour.
Yes.
Extreme, extreme downpour. And as we had got off, we had all our saman, our bags, and as we moved on, there were a few kiosks on the side of the road, and it was bucketing down. The guy from the kiosk, he actually told us to please come and stand near his store. We, with all of us, with our bags, we covered his entire frontage.
Give the size of his kiosk.
It's probably about 3x2.
If not less.
If not less. But the guy welcomed us and said, listen, please stand here with your bags and that. I mean, we wouldn't extend the same courtesy back home.
It's amazing. In fact, back home, we find that when it's raining and people, they run into the shops. After a while, I'll chase them out of the shops.
100%. We tell the guy, listen, you're blocking my view. You're blocking the window. But these guys welcome you and extremely, extremely courteous. From the taxi drivers, smiling. They don't understand you when you talk to them. But extremely polite and courteous, and a lot of, I mean, we have a lot to learn from them.
Have you seen patience?
A lot of sabr.
This is what you call patience.
100%. A lot of sabr. The guy smile and soldier on.
Especially on the road. We talk of road rage. If we have to spell road rage to these people, they'll ask us, what's that? You must spell it to them in Cham and in Vietnamese and tell them, we have road rage. They'll say, that's a new word to us. And exactly so. We've seen it. Because when you're traveling on the roads, but that's not only here, I would say. I've traveled across in the Asian countries, lots of these Asian countries. You get Malaysia, Singapore, you get Thailand, you get in Philippines. As you on the road, courtesy on the road, I think these people are, when they're born in the one ear, they tell them be courteous on the road. These children are born like that because they are so courteous on the road. They just, anybody wants to gap in, they will just press the hooter and they'll just gap in and continue like that. And that is just amazing. And yet you don't find accidents.
Nothing at all. With all the amount of people, the motorcycles and the narrow roads, absolutely no issues.
No, it's amazing. And you know, it's not that we are punting these people. We are not punting these people. Allah is our gawah. Allah is our witness. We are talking the truth of these people. The experiences that people had when coming to Vietnam over the last few years that we've been talking of this country, the experiences that people had and have, they contact me. They send messages to me. They mail me with their experiences. Believe me when I tell you, if I have to pull those mails out again, I'll have a long list of these mails only talking of how courteous these people are, how humble these people are. And that brings tears to your eyes. Believe me when I tell you. It's so unique. It's so out of this world. It's, for us, it's different. For the lifestyle we lead, this, I would say, is different for us. This is unique. This is something different. The hospitality of the people. We are at the moment at the house, as I mentioned, of Appa Salima, who studied in South Africa. Lots of the students in Lanesia, I think, in Mayfair Crosby, they will know who we're talking of. And the thing is, these people throw their houses open to us. We come here, we take over. And they will sit one side and they wouldn't say one word. And yet, if we don't do something, they would like, why are you, you know, why are you not doing that? Be part of us, be our family. They show love. That when you walk into the yards, already the water is there in front. Have your water and get in. Like the real Gam style, you know. Come in, have water, relax, and then you start talking, do what you have to do. That's the way it is. Can we do that in South Africa? We used to do it. We used to do it in a two-bedroom home. We used to welcome a family of 10 and let them stay over also. Can we do it? Now we've got 10 bedrooms. And when two people come, we can't welcome them. That is life. And that is the life we lead. And I think that is not correct. Because why? We have two kitchens at home. We have the kitchen for show, and then we have the kitchen to cut the chicken at the back. What is that? What is that? What we've seen here now? Believe me when I tell you, you'll cry blood. You'll cry when you see how these people live. Yet you'll find there are some of these people that have got wealth, that when you talk and you ask them about their rice paddies and you ask them about the animals, that when you see some of them, they've got animals, they've got probably 1,000 sheep, but when you look at the owner of the sheep, you'll see this guy don't have 20 cents in his back pocket. And yet, he is a multimillionaire in his own way. That is now when that is now what I say, being humble, being a unique human being. And that is what takes them a long way. That muhabbat that they have, where like before, if you can remember, in our homes, in our yards, during the dark days of apartheid, when we were in our communities, our front door and the back door used to only get locked at night at about 10, 11 o'clock. And not locked, where we got like 50 locks and 2 burglar gates and 3 shutters. No. One key and you lock your door. In the morning, that thing has to be open for your time. Neighbors walk in, walk out. That is life. And believe me, that is what we have here. I give you an example. We go from one place to another in the village, which is probably about 500-600 meters, probably a kilometer away. As soon as we come out of the house that we place ourselves, the motorcycles that go past, they don't know us from Arthur or Martha, but they will stop, put us on their motorcycle and ask us where you want to go in their own sign language. That's the way. Jump on the bike and go in the village. Move around in the village. Take you where you want to go. That is muhabbat. That is life, man. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But we're too busy, worried of all our futures in this world. But Allah make it easy. Allah protect us. It's something that I've learned. I'm only talking this today, here, now, with you. Because I am here. That's what I've learned. And inshallah, we can come back and implement these things. In some way, some form, if not me, with the pride that we have in our lives, my children, inshallah, and their children, inshallah, bring this back into our lives. Let us learn humility. Yes, we talk on this program about holiday destinations. This what I'm telling you, yes, it's a holiday destination, but it's the type of people that we're talking of. It's the type of human beings that we're talking of. Allah make it easy, inshallah, for us. Well, we're already out of time. We came sitting here talking about Vietnam, and I'm getting from time to time people barging onto this balcony talking to us or coming to see what we're doing. Assalamu alaikum, brother Bashir bhai. Jazakallah for joining us. You came barging on the balcony here. We got 30 seconds. Can you just give us one experience of yours? Bashir bhai is from Crosby, alhamdulillah, and he's joined here with his wife, Auntie Razia Banu, alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum, listeners. Thanks, brother Mohammed. With the Qurbani, with all this, the thing that really took me to by surprise was, living in these villages amongst all the non-Muslims or Kufar and Bani, yet you find little madrasas and little mosques operating and still causing the deen of Islam.
That is important. We never thought of talking of that, Bashir bhai. What an observation. Jazakallah for that, Bashir bhai. I hope you enjoy your stay here. Brothers, brother Ahmed, last, just parting shot.
I need like half an hour, but nevertheless, a quick parting shot. That
amazing bunch of guys. You know, I thank Hafiz of Siraj for, you know, pushing me to come on this trip. A lot of lessons to be learned from here. Allah Ta'ala grant the brothers good health, long life. Keep us all serving our deen. And, you know, grant MBJ strength. And inshallah, grant everybody sincerity in what we do. And I appeal to everybody to join the guys. Come, experience it. See what it's like to go through the processes of the whole thing. And, you know, one thing I would like to mention is that please be very mindful of qurbanis that are given. If you can, come yourself, do it yourself. But be very mindful of qurbanis that are done across the world. And we take great lessons from this place of sabr, shukr. We must appreciate our deen. We are very fortunate. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. And, you know, sometimes I look at myself and wonder how Allah Pak chooses weak people like us to come and serve His deen. But in life, I always tell people that Allah Ta'ala always gives us opportunities. So my advice to listen is that when there's opportunity given to you, don't say no. Grab that opportunity, because if you do not grab that opportunity, Allah Pak will give it to somebody else.
Alhamdulillah, that was very, very, very touching words. And inshallah, we all experience this. Allah make it such that our humility must go deep into our hearts, inshallah. Allah make it easy, Allah protect us. And we'd like to say, Brother Zakaria Pandur, last one word.
Mohammed Bhai, I can't say Mohammed Bhai is going to chuck me out of the studio. Mohammed Bhai is going to cut me off because he can't see me now.
They say seeing is believing, so Allah give topic of everyone in South Africa to come to Vietnam, inshallah.
Inshallah, for holiday and for visiting these people, inshallah. And sir, Brother Farhad,
inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all the brothers of MBJ and Allah take work from them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the best of this world and the best of the year after, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah.
Jazakallah, inshallah. From next week, we'll see what we can do, what we can talk about. But for now, we're going to go back into the heat. It's now 3 o'clock here in Vietnam. Inshallah, live from Vietnam, from myself, Muhammad Lambat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.